Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus, fantasy. In a second, hopefully you can see me. You can now see me. Hello and welcome in to the first ever Fantasy Focus Football Podcast virtual event. We are presented by Geico. Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Hello to everybody who is joining us here tonight. I am Field. Hello, Matthew. Hello, Stefania. Hello, Daniel Dopp.
Hello.
Hi. This is very exciting. You know what? I don't get to see you guys except for every day of my life. So this is this is nice. But you know what, Field? It's interesting. You start off the show mentioning one of our friends at Marathon, fueling the American spirit. What is more American spirit than talking on a Zoom call with a bunch of your closest friends in 2020?
Sadly, for the past 6 months, nothing is more American than being on a Zoom call right now, part of the American spirit. Matthew, although you seem to be, where exactly are you right now? Which of your homes are you located at? Because it looks fantastic.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm at an undisclosed location. I've jetted off to my private island, as I do after every show.
Right.
And yeah, that's just the view outside my window. No big deal, NBD.
That's interesting, because you look like you're above the island.
Yeah.
As opposed to on the island.
Well, what I have is, you've kind of outed me, Stefania, but if you've ever seen the movie Avatar, I have my house is built like that. It's like on these floating rocks. So I have a mansion built on a floating rock above a tropical island that is absolutely, completely my backyard and absolutely not a Zoom background that I got from Google search.
Yeah, very proud of you, Matt, that you were able to find that from Google search. Technology, not exactly your strength, although I'm not sure what
fair.
Is.
Very, very fair. But listen, at least I'm like, you know, semi-dressed and in a chair. Freaking Secret Squirrel over there is in like his love hammock. I don't know what's going on with that thing over there.
What are you talking about?
Doggy is there.
Yeah.
It's just like, I just feel like you're like, I don't know, you're just like ready to have some sort of like love in on that thing. I don't know what's going on. Like this sort of lava lamp. Like you're a lava lamp short of like something weird going on down there.
Not weird, Matthew. Everything that you've ever imagined is going on over here.
You don't wanna know. We should get to some questions.
I think this is the part of the show where I recapture things, bring it back in, and say, hey, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. And we really appreciate everybody that made the effort to be a part of this Zoom. We would love to do our live shows. We've had the best time going to Boston, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston. We've been to Detroit, we've been to D.C., and other places.
L.A.,
yes. I probably forgot a couple along the way as well. And we've enjoyed going to some of the same places over and over again. Obviously, travel. A little bit different during this year. For those that have to travel, it is hopefully done safely, but we could not make it out to a live event somewhere. So we're doing it virtually. And for those of you who decided to hang out with us for an hour, we really appreciate that. Here's how the show is going to work. We have a ton of questions to answer. And to make it a little bit simpler, rather than having four people trying to weave in and out of a conversation on Zoom, which all of you know can be a little bit tricky, we're going to have two people basically per segment. So we're going to answer as many questions we can possibly get through. We've got tons already available. So segment one is going to be, I'm trying to think of how to describe you guys. The brains of the show in Stefania.
Yeah. Also the beauty of the show.
The beauty of the show.
Right.
The what's left.
I was going to say.
Not much.
The anger of the show, Matthew, is in like, it's just dead weight falling off.
It's fair. The dead weight of the show? Yeah. That's fair. I think that's factually correct. I think that's a good way to describe it all. 100%.
All right, well, you guys have at it. I'll let you guys get to these questions. I think from a perspective of the viewer, you're going to see just Matthew and Stefania on your screen now. Hopefully these two can navigate some questions. I have faith in Stefania, not so much in Matthew.
Understood. Rightfully so. Thank you, Field. Thank you, Daniel, who did nothing during that entire segment, just but swing on his hammock. It's okay. So they're finally gone, Stefania. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're on an island, and I am in front of a bar. That's not real. That would not be my house. It just happens to have a picture of San Francisco on a Zoom background with wine in the background. It's amazing how you can find things that look so real.
Super weird, because it looks very similar to like when you have Zoom happy hours with my wife and you guys are doing shots. All right, Stefania, let's whip through as many questions as we can real quickly. This first one comes from Colin Humphrey. He's out of Lincoln. I assume that's Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yep.
And Colin wants to know, do you expect the number of soft tissue injuries to be higher than normal as the season progresses?
It is the unanswered question. Colin, we wish we knew. This is one big experiment in 2020. I think everyone that I talked to from medical clubs around the league expected that we would see a spike in soft tissue injuries probably near the start of the season. I think that's bearing itself out. But as to what happens as the season progresses, it's anyone's guess. You know, usually in a season, you do see a little bit of a spike early. Typically it happens in the preseason sharply, and then maybe again the first couple weeks of the regular season, but it's pretty even after that. So until we get to the end, we're really not going to know. But I think the fear is that it's probably more likely to be the case than not.
All right, so we will watch out for that. You will, as always, continue to be very, very busy this whole year. So, by the way, so Secret Squirrel handed us this note with just like, I mean, literally, I mean, like, you know, questions upon questions upon questions upon questions, like, you know, like just a zillion of them. So I haven't had a chance to go through and understand the pronunciation of everyone's name. So if I butcher your name, just realize it's Daniel Dopp's fault. Abel Paulos, or Paulos, he is from Seattle. And he wants to know, would you move on from David Johnson in fear of future injury, Stefania? Is he somebody that's on your radar as somebody that you think is especially, we can never predict injuries, but there are certain players that I know you have more concerns than others. Is David Johnson on that list for you?
No. I talked about him in the preseason. You and I were both pretty high on David Johnson and his new spot in Houston. I felt like the injury label was a bit overblown with him. He had the one season lost to the wrist injury, which was obviously unfortunate. But last year, he started off great and then had an ankle injury, which compromised two games for him. And when he came back, I just felt like he never really got a shot. He didn't fit. For whatever the reasons were, he was not going to be a part of the Arizona offense going forward. And that became super apparent once Kenyon Drake was there on board. So I felt like the work he had in the offseason, he came in phenomenal shape. The opportunity in Houston, obviously people in Texas concerned about him coming in and losing DeAndre Hopkins. But what you've seen the first couple weeks, Matthew, has it not impressed you? I mean, I think he's looked very, very good. He did come out of the game at one point, I believe the week one, and had his wrist looked at and everyone got nervous. But honestly, if you look at the last question we were just answering about the potential for so many injuries, I'm not trading away a healthy guy just because I think of what could happen. I want a guy who's going to get the ball, who is currently healthy, and I'm not looking to deal him.
Completely agree with you, Stefania, on that. I'm a David Johnson believer. I think he's in for a tough week this week at the Steelers in that Pittsburgh run defense. But in general, no, I'm not looking to get rid of David Johnson. I don't think he is a sell high, which is what that question is sort of asking. Drew Anatala from Miami asks, what are your expectations of Jack Doyle moving forward? And you know what? Like, here's my take on Jack Doyle, right? Fine. My expectations are he is fine. So here's the thing.
Although he's hurt. So right. I would just say, like, one just
bad
to get
hurt. There's a question.
Yeah, like let me just say this: he missed this last week because of an ankle and knee issue. Jack Doyle, who had never really missed time until last year, and then now had dealt with a neck issue in the preseason. Now this, he's an aging tight end in the NFL. What are you going to do? But I think that they thought initially it would be multiple weeks. Now they're thinking he's looking better, maybe available for week three. But we've seen Mo Alie-Cox, which I'm sure you were going to talk about, look pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and by the way, you couple the emergence of Mo Alie-Cox along with the injury to Paris Campbell, and looks like he's going to be done for most of the season, if not all of it. And so could the Colts go to more two tight end sets? You know, they'll use some Zach Pascal. They'll use some Michael Pittman here. Jack Doyle is going to be fine. like, he's not a guy that is ever going to win you the week, or to be very unlikely that he ever wins you the week. But do I think he is a passable, you know, 5 for 40, 6 for 50 kind of guy that, you know, score, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns by the end of the year? Yes, I do. So I think he is solid. Like, he is just right there, middle of the pack, like just somebody that's not going to kill you, but not going to win you the week. I do think there are a lot of tight ends on the waiver wire that have more upside than him. We talked about some of them on the show this morning. Jonnu Smith, Mike Gesicki, both among them available more than 50% of ESPN leagues. I prefer both those guys to Jack Doyle going forward. All right, let's go through. Let's move on. Richard Wax from Pleasant Prairie wants to know, can you explain not a cone and all the nicknames? So I can do – I actually – Stefania, do you want to tackle why you are or are not a cone? Do you remember how this originated? I think I do, but I'm not 100%.
Well, we can sort of navigate it together because, you know, Matthew, this is our 13th year working together.
It is, I know.
I think it's nice they let the old guard start off the podcast. But
well, it gets past our bedtime pretty quick.
Right. This was back in the way back days, like when it was black and white TV, and right. You and I started the podcast, and Nate was on it, and Pod Vader, and yeah. There was some listener who had an ice cream store, I believe, somewhere in Connecticut that wasn't particularly far from us, but
he had
made flavors to go with everyone on the show, and you guys went down and tried all your flavors, and somehow I was not included, I was not invited, and there was no flavor for me. So then I was insulted, naturally, and then there became this discussion of, well, what flavor would I be? And you came up with, you know, I think I was trying to think, we would start off like a sundae, like ice cream sundae, the cherry on top, because I hold it all together. You're like, no, you hold it all together, you're the cone. I'm like, no one wants to be a cone, and I don't even eat I get ice cream in a dish. I'll be right. The dish. I didn't want to be the cone. So right. There was born the argument of cone, not a cone.
Well, exactly. And then, you know, the listeners. So by the way,
it's taken on a life of its own.
It's taken on a life of its own. The ice cream store, I believe, is Sweet Ashley's in Norwalk, Connecticut, I believe is correct. I know it's very near the Mystic Seaport, you know, the Maritime Museum here in Connecticut. So I believe it's Sweet Ashley's. Anyway, so yeah, we went down. They had flavors named after all of us, and mine was like a vanilla with waffle cone, which is what I always love. And so yes, we debated whether you were clearly the cone, and you were like, no, not a cone. And the more you insisted you were not a cone, of course, the more we wanted to pile on the fact that obviously you're a cone, and everyone took off with it. And then it became
that became a, traffic it became, cones.
It became right. It became cone. Any kind of cone. Like, people would send in pictures of like traffic cones and be like, oh, I saw Stefania outside my house. And so that became all this. They ask about all the nicknames here, so I'll very quickly run through them. So none of them are what you think they are. So Not Cool Keith is because one time I forget what he did, but we were trying to think of a nickname for him. And then at one point later in the show, he did something. Like, he pulled the questions, or he said, I'm not answering the questions. Oh, like, come on, Keith, that's not cool. That's not cool. And so then he became Not Cool Keith. And it had nothing to do with the fact that whether he is cool or not, because he's a very cool dude. But just that became the nickname, Not Cool Keith. Thirsty Kyle has absolutely nothing to do with a thirst for alcohol. He actually doesn't drink. It is not a thirst for females. He is not only happily married, but he's been in a long-term relationship for close to a decade with the same woman. It was entirely about, because when he started on the show, we put a microphone near him, and instead of just sort of passing us notes with statistics, which is what a lot of researchers do, he would just pop on the microphone. He was thirsty for airtime, is what he was. He wanted to become a person, wanted to become a personality. So,
and he did, to his credit.
He did become a personality, but that is why he is Thirsty Kyle. Speaking of Thirsty Kyle, he just texted me. Oh, here's what it was. No. He's right. This is about cool Keith. Keith was supposed to bring in donuts one morning, because there was one year where Keith brought in donuts like every Friday morning.
Friday, yeah.
But then he makes a tradition of going to at least one Browns game every year. And so he went to the Browns game that Friday, and I think he might have left Thursday night. So he didn't come in and bring the donuts. We were all complaining, where are the donuts? And we were like, that's not cool, Keith. Not cool. So anyway, and he left us all hungry and unfed. So thank you, Thirsty Kyle. again, he's not even on the live stream, but he's popping in to just sort of get mentioned there. So that's where, and I'm trying to think if there are any other nicknames.
Icy Tomato for Field.
Well, just because he's a, you know, I don't know where, I mean, Spicy Tomato just came from, because I remember seeing like how good looking he was. And we were just trying to come up with ways, and Field got very uncomfortable with it. So of course, the more he got uncomfortable with it, I just wanted to, you know,
Secret Squirrel. About
just, and Secret Squirrel, yeah, so he's a spicy tomato. It was just like a made up phrase, but to talk about just how handsome and attractive Field is. And Secret Squirrel comes from his days in intelligence. So for people who don't know, Daniel Dopp served our country. He was in the Air Force for 6 years, and he served as an intelligence officer in the Air Force. And so he can address this later in his segment, but a common nickname for people in the that work in intelligence in the military is a secret squirrel. And so that's where that comes from. So as a way to honor his service to our country. So I think that's all the nicknames there. Why don't we move on now to, speaking of Secret Squirrel, who is from Detroit, Colin Hallman from Detroit asks, any advice on keeping all of my league mates engaged the entire season? And I will answer this. I think there's a couple of quick ways here. And Stefania, you can pipe in if there's anything you can think of, right? But for me, I think that first off, having a last place loser punishment is crucial. Number one, it's a great way for league bonding, right? Because when you get together for that ceremony, it's just a lot of laughs and it's a lot of fun. And it doesn't matter what it is. Like there are some leagues that go to real extremes, and there are other ones that just do, you know, something simple like the loser has to wear an embarrassing shirt to the draft, or, you know, or pick up the tab or whatever. The level of embarrassment should be one that everyone in the league can handle, and you need to agree on it before the season starts. My first love hate of the season was about this, but so that's one way that I would do that. The other way is that and you can't do it now, but if it's a keeper league, right? Because now all of a sudden you've got interest in every single week. But the last thing that I would say there in terms of trying to keep interest going is, you know, weekly prizes, right?
Mm-hmm. I love the weekly prizes.
Yeah, weekly prizes for most points, or even a punishment for last place points. But just the idea is that there's, give your league mates a reason to want to win and compete every single week. If there's a cash prize, or even if it's just to avoid a last place punishment, you need to do that. All right, let's quickly whip through a couple more here so we can move on. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce this. Bionni Mickles from Dallas. How much do you weigh matchups when making your weekly decisions compared to talent, Stefania?
Well, I weigh matchups a little bit. You know, I'm looking certainly at who that player that's in my lineup, what team they're facing. You know, if they're going up against the Steelers D, we were just talking about this as an example. When you're facing Steelers defense, you get a little bit concerned about David Johnson. But again, you're looking at the talent. Like, am I going to bench David Johnson? No, but I'm probably going to have lower expectations for him. When you get into the flex considerations, the matchup definitely plays a bigger part, because that's where I'm typically looking at moving people off my bench into those flex spots.
I think that's it's a very good answer there, Stefania. I agree. So matchups are important, but also talent. You can have the best match of the world and you're not any talented, it doesn't work out, right? And vice versa. Like, you're never benching Ezekiel Elliott, no matter who they play. Let's see. Ivan Herrera from Rancho Cucamonga, back in my old days in California. What's the best way to approach trade vetoes when putting your lead together? Don't allow them. Very simple. Yeah. You should never have a veto. Commissioner should only veto when you can prove there's collusion. Other than that, no vetoes. What teams do you think offer more fantasy value than they've shown through the first 2 weeks? So a couple of underperformers. I'll start. I'll say, Daniel, close your ears, but I'll say the Detroit Lions. Stafford's going to be a good fantasy quarterback. When they get Kenny Galladay back, I think that offense is going to open up in a pretty big way. So I would argue them. I think they'll have more fantasy value than they've shown so far this year. That would be my choice. Any team that jumps out to you, Stefania?
No, I was just looking ahead to get one more question in. Louis Centino from Dallas.
Yeah.
Prefer Gurley or Hunt the rest of the way? I'm going Hunt. because I am concerned about a drop-off for Gurley based on utilization. Hunt has proven that he can be super valuable even with Nick Chubb in the mix. I'm going with Kareem Hunt. I think that – I don't know how Matthew feels about that.
No, I agree. I would I prefer Hunt, too. I just think he's got a better chance of staying healthy. And, by the way, there's an upside with Hunt that isn't there with Gurley. Look, we obviously hope Nick Chubb stays healthy all season, but if something were to happen to him, Kareem Hunt would be a top five running back in fantasy, if not more. Rest of the season name game for Raheem Mostert. Real quickly, 10 seconds. How concerned are you about Mostert's health?
Concerned for a couple of weeks, but I think when he comes back, when he comes back, it'll be on grass, and I like it a lot better. You know,
when he comes back, he's a top 15 fantasy running back. And then last question here, Alex Easter from Redbud. What is your favorite flavor of Pop-Tart? I legit have Pop-Tarts in my office. I don't know if you can see this.
How old are those?
Brown sugar cinnamon. They're a week old. Like, first off, by the way, it doesn't matter. That's impressive. Can be 10 years old. They're Pop-Tarts. Yeah. Pop-Tarts don't go all the way. Like, they're, I mean, like, you know, when we die, it's going to be cockroaches and Pop-Tarts that still, but anyway, I'm a Pop-Tart fan. I'm a big Pop-Tart fan. All right, Stefania, I have a question for you. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
I do now.
There you go. That is 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? For all of a sudden Thirsty Kyle to pop onto this this Zoom call and figure out a way for him to get more screen time? That's likely not going to happen. That's likely not going to happen. We've actually made arrangements that he's only audio only. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right. We're going to turn this over. Where's Field Minister Yates? There he is.
Good morning, Matthew. Can you see me? Oh, hi. How are you? Good job, Stefania.
Yeah. She did great. Now you're here to bring down the show.
All right. So what's that? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm here to do. Let's have some fun here, Matthew. We got a lot of questions. I'll start it off right here. And you can interpret this as a fantasy question or just a real football question. This comes from Tony. Who is the most overrated player in the league?
Who's the most overrated player in the league? Wow. That's a tough one. Can I choose Adam Gase?
Yeah.
He's not a player. But
I don't think he's overrated. I don't think he's even like, yeah.
He has a job, dude. He has a job. The most overrated player in the NFL. I mean,
how about this? I would say this, a player
who would you answer? I want to think about this a little bit more. Go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah. I don't know that this player totally fits the bill of overrated, but I would say in terms of hype versus production for the past 2 years, it's been Odell Beckham Jr. Fair, right? I mean, we like him. We think his talent is great, but he and Baker Mayfield have not lived up to expectations over the past two seasons. Obviously, Baker has been there for – this is his third season in Cleveland. Let's move forward. Wilbur Pyle.
Oh, you know what? I'll give you one. Okay. Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette. And Leonard Fournette, by the way, may get bailed out because he's going to be the lead running back for the Buccaneers, and I think they're going to be in scoring position a lot, but Leonard Fournette to me.
All right, let's move forward here. Well, Wilbur Pion from Brooklyn wants to know, what player has most changed your opinion for 2 weeks?
Calvin Ridley. I mean, like, look, we thought Calvin Ridley was going to – he was your choice for a breakout. Like, he was on my preseason love list. We all thought he would be good, right? We all thought he would take a next step.
Yep.
We didn't think he'd be number one wide receiver in fantasy by more than 20 points through 2 weeks.
Sure.
So, I mean, like, has he massively changed my opinion? I don't know about that. I mean, there's certainly there's a couple of other people that sort of jump out, but that's one guy that we're just like when my rankings come out this week. When my rankings are out this week, I'll have Calvin Ridley ranked higher than Julio Jones. Which I never would have occurred to me that would happen, that I would rank Calvin Ridley over a healthy Julio Jones.
I'll go the other way, Matthew. It might be Drew Brees. I thought he was going to have a lock it in, no doubt about it. Superstar season, superstar start. Bad night last night, and there's plenty of football left, and I could very well rue the day that I even suggested such a thing. But I'm a little bit concerned about Drew Brees right now. Let's move forward here. This comes from Ben Pope from Seekonk. 15 weeks to go. Who is going to be the fantasy MVP this season?
Also a good question here. Fantasy MVP, I mean, it might be Kyler Murray.
It could. Well, you know, I just, you know, Kyler Murray would have to be so far above the rest of the NFL. And I think quarterbacks, and it's going to be a value. But I think if it's going to be a quarterback, Matthew, it'd probably have to be someone more like Cam Newton, who we think has a chance to track as one of the three best quarterbacks this year in fantasy, who was not being drafted anywhere close to that. I think Kyler was buzzworthy enough. So I'm going to go with Zeke. And the reason why, Matthew, is we've already seen the running back attrition, right? I mean, you're at the spot now where it's possible that half of the players, or at least 4 out of 10 top 10 players this year, who guys are going in the first round, are either going to miss time or could miss some time. Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and also Devontae Adams. If you get the best player in fantasy this year, I know that's sort of a crutch argument, but Zeke's availability could play a major part.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easiest way to answer it, right? It's just sort of like, tell me who's going to be healthy. Who's going to still be left standing at the, in 15 more weeks. I certainly think Calvin Ridley is going to be in that conversation. To your point about Cam, also Josh Allen, who went like in the middle rounds. I mean, I know he went as like quarterback 7, or I think he went as quarterback 12 on ESPN. Deontay Johnson is somebody that I think is really interesting as well. Just in terms of lower tier guys. And, oh, here's another one, by the way, even though he went higher than he should have in drafts, Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor could easily finish as a top 5 fantasy running back. Probably will. And he wasn't drafted, obviously, as that.
Not a bad one right there. Let's go to Dylan Hoffman from Ann Arbor, who wants to know, what's your favorite format of leagues?
I like Superflex. I really enjoy Superflex. I love all sorts of fantasy football, and I'm playing a lot of different formats, but my personal favorite leagues are the deeper leagues and the super flex leagues. Yeah, I really enjoy super flex.
I'm going to go with auction leagues with keeper formatting as well, just because there's still a huge amount of guessing involved come Sunday morning. That's not to try and take us off the hook from what we do, but fantasy football is a very difficult thing to accurately forecast weekly. But a keeper league that has an auction format, it maybe introduces a bit more skill relative to other more randomness that you see in 10-team redraft leagues, where you might just get lucky and have the first pick and nail it and win your league as a result of that.
Yeah, look, I definitely prefer dynasty and keeper leagues as well. I mean, the two leagues that I probably care about the most are the War Room League that we're all in, the 16-team ESPN War Room League, and then I'm in a 12-team 33-man roster dynasty super flex league that's comprised of a bunch of people that if you follow fantasy Twitter, you've heard of all their names. And so those are two leagues that I really care a lot about, and they're deep. But I will say this, that a 10-team league is actually, in my opinion, in many ways tougher than a 16-team league or a deep league like we're talking about, because in a 16-team league field in our War Room league, like, you're mostly just starting anyone that has a pulse.
Fair enough.
In a 10-team league, you're sitting there deciding between, okay, I've got Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson, and Jonathan Taylor for two spots. Now what am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, you suddenly get into more decisions than you wouldn't think, and everyone has a stacked team. So there is a challenge there.
Jeff Wallace from Sioux Falls says, I'm in a 20-team league, so who is your deepest sleeper that I can add on the waiver wire? Gosh, if you have 20 teams, I feel like every player in the NFL is going to be rostered right now. But I'll just throw out a couple that I think might be worth at least exploring. Guys that either made the waiver column this week or did not. Nicole Hardman was on a lower percentage of teams than I anticipated. Sammy Watkins says he's okay. He's come out clean health-wise after that huge hit in week 2. But it looked pretty nasty there for a second. You know, N'Keal Harry for the Patriots, we talked about him just briefly on the podcast. He had 8 catches, and 72 yards is not daunting off of 8 catches, but like, he's playing every snap for them, right? And Cam Newton seems to trust him 1,000 times more than Tom Brady does. So I'm always looking for guys that have a good quarterback on their side. And certainly Patrick Mahomes and Cam Newton appear to be two of the best that we have in the NFL right now.
I'll give you a couple too. I would be surprised if N'Keal Harry or Mecole Hardman were free agents in a 20-team league, just especially because they had some preseason buzz as sleepers. But two guys that I might throw out there that potentially are out there. First off, Isaiah Ford, who I know they liked Miami quite a bit, and he did some nice things last week. He's their slot guy, and so I think that's a team that's going to be throwing a lot. So I know they like Isaiah Ford there in Miami. There's somebody, KJ Hamler, the rookie in Denver, is sort of interesting. The injury to Cortland Sutton obviously opens up some targets there in that passing attack. Who knows what it's going to look like under Jeff Driskel, but you know, maybe there's a connection there, some second team rep kind of stuff with KJ Hamler. And the last one I'll mention, he shouldn't be available, but I've seen him available in a lot of my deeper leagues, is Keelan Cole. Like, everyone knows DJ Shark and LaVisca Chenault has all the buzz, but you know, Keelan Cole has scored a touchdown in two straight games and, you know, is a talented young player and seems to have a connection with Gardner Minshew, again, on a team that's going to throw a lot.
Okay, really quick here, Matt, because we got to head over to the next segment, just a matter of moments. But in all of your years playing fantasy football, and there have been a lot of years, who is a player that you think of when I say that was the most fun player to have on my roster for that year?
Lamar Jackson last year, Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago. I mean, I had Peyton Manning the 55 touchdown year. I mean, those were all really fun. Like, I have been playing fantasy for a long time. Like, there's like a 5-year stretch where just pick a year for LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, like, in terms of, for me, in terms of fun, it was just like the guys that just sort of bust out and like every week had production. I mean, like, obviously Darren Waller last year for me was a lot of fun. Kareem Hunt's rookie year was awesome. But you know what? Here you go. All those are great answers, but here's my answer. It just took me a while to think of it.
Okay.
Robert Griffin III, his rookie year. Just for me personally, because I, you know, longtime, long-suffering Washington fan, and RG3 came in with a lot of hype. And if you look at my preseason stuff from that year, I liked him a lot. I drafted him in the War Room League field. That was the year I won the War Room League, was his rookie year. He was my quarterback that year. So it was just, that was a magical season for a lot of reasons. And so that was my favorite player to have on my roster fantasy-wise. He had a monster year, his rookie year.
Would have fought Bart Starr during one of his better seasons, but to each their own. All right, we're going to move to segment three here, Matthew, which means that you get a chance to go relax the vocal cords for just a few minutes. We'll be back with you shortly. But for now, it's me and my buddy, the man who hangs out in swinging chairs, Daniel Dye. I'm going to wait for Daniel to join us in just a matter of moments here, and this will be fun. Hello, hello. Daniel, there you are.
Hello. Hey, buddy. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. How are you?
So
we're playing
this
a big game of games right there.
I'll tell you what, this swinging chair is not nearly as dramatic as everyone makes it out to be. It's just a hammock in the middle of a ceiling from a beam. It's just really comfortable.
It looks great. I mean, I'm sitting in a hotel desk chair, and I'm not very comfortable right now.
I appreciate it.
So let's play a game of – it's okay. I'm going to ask you some fantasy football questions so we can both answer them because that's what we do. We'll trade questions. All right, what's Josh Allen's ceiling? This question comes from Joshua Fernandez in Charlotte. What's Josh Allen's ceiling? Can he be this year's Lamar Jackson, in your opinion?
I don't think he can be this year's Lamar Jackson because that bar is just too high. I mean, comparing anybody to Lamar Jackson just feels silly right now. Do I think, though, that he can be a top five fantasy quarterback this year? Yeah. I mean, if he continues to run, if Stephon Diggs and John Brown continue to stay involved the way they have been, I mean, he has all the tools to be able to be a top five fantasy quarterback. It's just whether or not that offense can continue to produce the way that it has through the first 2 weeks.
Fair enough. All right. You want to ask me the next one here, Daniel? We'll just try
man. You want to just go back and forth? I love this. You're so great.
Why not? I like it.
All right. Jeremy Peterson from Magma wants to know, Minshew or Big Ben the rest of the way?
It's actually closer than I think. And my initial thought is, hey, Ben Roethlisberger, I would probably prefer him by the narrowest of margins. But I'm going to go with Minshew mania, baby. And here's the reason why, Daniel. His schedule is a little bit less daunting in the division. So I think that Gardner Minshew, who has obviously already played two divisional foes, has a chance to have a good chance, has a good shot at 20 points or so in almost every single week. Ben Roethlisberger gets a little bit of a tougher schedule, and it's been good from Ben, don't get me wrong, but Gardner Minshew, I don't know, there's something about him that's just so fun to roster.
Yeah.
Robert Richer from Boynton Beach. You know what? He wants to know, has Josh Allen graduated into set it and forget it territory?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Let's just make that very clear. Daniel said earlier on, certainly. So I get the next one here. Right. This is a good one, Daniel. This is a very important question. It comes from Harper Alfred from Los Angeles. He wants to know, Harper wants to know, he or she, does Secret Squirrel use conditioner in his beard oils? There's no way a beard is that glorious if it's all natural.
I condition it probably once or twice a week, depending on how, like if I've been working outside or how sweaty I've been, because it can get real musty under there if you're not careful with it.
Okay. So,
do I use oils? I don't use any beard oil. I have in the past. I do use a couple of like nice like balms to be able to help keep it soft that like will also give it like a nice little texture to it. So, you know, I put a little bit of effort into the beard. You gotta take care of the things that are taking care of you. You know what I mean, Field?
Absolutely. Another great question. I don't really know what you're talking about, to be honest. Mostly, like, I get not very much facial hair, if you haven't noticed already.
I have a
question from Jordan Chong from North Vancouver next, Daniel. Let's both answer this. If you didn't work in fantasy football, what profession would you be in?
I want you to go first.
The easy answer would be coaching or scouting, but let's just eliminate football entirely. I'd be a teacher. I would love to be a teacher at a school and have the opportunity to coach as well. Be great.
It would be great. Absolute heroes teachers are. They never get enough credit for all the things that they do for kids. I'll tell you what, that I remember like have made lasting impacts on my life. Like I, such a massively underappreciated profession. So
yeah, I totally agree. How about you? What would be your profession?
I would probably hopefully work in the music industry somewhere. My actual bachelor's degree is in music business, working as far as like contract management and working for a label and or bands as far as from that perspective. And so I'm hoping it would be something from that way. Okay. Otherwise, I went to school for nothing. So we'll see.
Crossing bands you never heard of, baby. Has a chance to really take off here.
I'm going to take this because I want to give this to you. Alejandro Rivera from Brooklyn wants to know, is Calvin Ridley a 2020 league winner or a trade chip to cash in on?
So Matthew was just talking about him a little while ago, and I think that the tides are pushing more towards 2020 league winner because the Falcons are going to throw it a ton. Mm-hmm. This is a player who, if drafted by maybe 25 of 32 NFL teams 2 years ago, would have a chance to already be their clear-cut number one wide receiver. He might be one of the top 12, 15, 18 wide receivers in terms of ability in the league right now. So I'm going to, even though it's been red hot, and even though you get absurd return right now for Calvin Ridley, I'm going to hang tight. He has a league-winning upside.
Agreed. Totally agree with you.
I'm going to screw this name up, but I'm going to try. Utkarsh Koshdi from Houston wants to know, Marvin Jones or DJ Chark in PPR the rest of the season? You are, of course, a Lions fan, so are you keeping your guy, Marvin Jones, or would you prefer DJ Chark plays on Thursday night?
Probably, boy, this is tough. I mean, if Gardner Minshew is going to look like Gardner Minshew, then I would probably go with DJ Chark just because I like the idea of having the number one in that offense more than having the number two option behind Kenny Galladay. But, you know, I love my boy Marv. Like, he's fantastic. Love Marvin Jones, but I think I got to go DJ Chark here.
Yeah, fair enough. I would actually go with DJ Chark as well. We haven't seen the Lions offense this year with Kenny Galladay. And even though Marvin Jones has been really good in the past, we know that Kenny Galladay is going to be the clear-cut, undisputed number one.
Absolutely.
All right, your turn.
Jack Schultz from Park City wants to know, we're 2 weeks, really a week into the Tyrod Taylor era. Where do you rank Keenan Allen the rest of the season?
First of all, I love Park City. One of my favorite communities in the entire country. It's a great place to ski, obviously, but a great downtown as well. Tons of culture, tons of music, tons of art. Of course, the festival every year out there as well. But Daniel, you sort of corrected yourself, and I'm going to correct your correction. We are now 2 days past the Tyrod Taylor era. You know why? Because Tyrod Taylor is not starting anymore for the Los Angeles Chargers. I am not buying into what Anthony Lynn is saying. If we're playing news or noise right now and he says, hey, I'm Justin Herbert's not the starter, it's Tyrod Taylor's job, I would say that is noise. I have a very hard time imagining Justin Herbert is not the starter going forward for the Chargers.
I don't know how you put up a game like that when you come in and the team looks the way they did and you don't just let him continue to start. So I'm totally with you.
In the same way. John Clendine from Baltimore wants to know, do you prefer more depth at wide receiver or running back on your bench?
So first off, I love Baltimore. I lived there for 2.5 years, so I'm a huge fan of Baltimore. I live down in Canton. I just got to see the Natty Bow guy right outside my apartment. I would say running back depth. I think there's so much wide receiver depth with it being a passing league this year, with the idea that there's just, it's, I feel like it's always easier to find wide receivers off of the waiver wire. So that running back depth, especially now at this point, when we see the rash of injuries that we've had, is way more valuable. I mean, that's tough to be able to know going into a season, but I almost always try to make sure that I have good running back depth coming out of fantasy drafts for that specific reason.
Yeah, I would say it's got to be running back depth, because you know why? I'm sitting here looking at most of my rosters and I have no running back depth. It's impossible to find. So if you have it, you're in great shape. Right. One more here, Dan. What do you got?
Yeah, last one comes from Christopher Calabro. Can you realistically start two running backs from the same team, like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, or Ingram and Dobbins?
Okay, so right now there are only two running backs from the same team that you can start. It would be Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Other than that, there is not, off the top of my head, a running back duo that you could start at the moment.
Are you getting close? I would like to see it more, but Kelly and Eckler could be a conversation, if depending on how that works out. But I think I agree with you that Hunt-Chubb combo is the only one right now that I would feel comfortable with.
Yeah, that one I would say is sort of hovering. I think the Ravens, like he mentioned, is a possibility if things start to shake right, a possibility. I guess you could make a case already for David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen, but you don't love either one of them as like your top running back. So a star at the top, if you had Zeke plus the two Chicago running backs, that would be something to consider. That being said, for the most part, it's just the Browns that you enjoy starting as a backfield duo.
100%. All right, Field, I'm going to let you go for a quick minute, get you rest in before we finish this podcast off. But first, I want to tell everybody that now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gasoline. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal that you can count on, and it's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio and start saving today. Offer is only valid at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to go, be safe. The people at Marathon are behind you all the way. All right, let's bring on Matthew and Field and Stefania. We're going to close this out with a big segment. We're going to do as many rapid-fire questions as we can here at the end. All right, I do not mind kicking this one off as soon as we have everybody here. We're waiting for Matthew Berry.
Ooh, I'm here. Oh.
That never happens.
That's weird. Oh, there we go.
I was waiting for my camera to turn on, and then it turns out I had to manually turn
it on. Yeah, you know, we were told that. All of us managed to do it.
It turns out. I want to start with the first
question. No one likes a bragger. All right? No one likes a bragger, Princeton. You know what I'm saying?
I want to really quickly do the first question. Jared Sova from Kansas City. I want to start with Field. We'll go around with all four of us. What is the ultimate breakfast? Field J.C.
Okay. So breakfast in a lot of days of my life, Daniel, is for function, right? I am an early morning person. As all of you know, usually my day starts in the gym. So I'm usually putting in some carbs into my body to get it ready. But if I'm on Nantucket and it's Sunday and I'm hanging out and I'm trying to relax, some of the essentials include, but are not limited to, I love a Western omelet. And you know what I need with a Western omelet? I need a stack of pancakes, preferably with some blueberries in them and enough maple syrup for my taste. And finally, you must have a breakfast beverage. And most people like mimosas or Bloody Marys. You know what I say? Beer. Give me a beautiful cold beer. I don't care if it's 10 a.m. and I don't care if you guys judge me. That is the breakfast of champions.
Yeah.
Make
no mistake. Listen, kids, for anyone, kids that are watching, first off, like don't get to a point in your life where you're such a drunk that you need beer in the morning. Okay.
It tastes good.
That's what I'm just saying. I like to start there. The second thing, what I would say here is that fruit does not belong in many things. Doesn't belong in cakes. Doesn't belong in any sort of breakfast.
Okay, you're vetoed. Waffles.
No, you're wrong.
You're done. That's
absolutely
the wrong answer.
Wrong. You guys are wrong.
Yeah. You're
fruit
wrong.
Should be its own thing. Fruit's off to the side. Fruit's good. You don't need to put stupid carbs around it. You don't need to make. And waffles and pancakes and French toast are all great. You need to add fruit to it. Fruit's its own thing.
You're like a grandma.
Live by himself.
Stefania, give me yours.
Free the fruit.
I know. I want waffles with fruit all over the top with whipped cream and syrup. I want bacon. I want mimosas. I want a pitcher of mimosas. And then I want Beth to have breakfast with me because she's not having breakfast with you.
I thought Stefania was going to say she wants a fresh fruit compo made by Rico. I thought that's what she was going with.
You know what? That would have been the right answer. Here, the correct answer is French toast, no powdered sugar.
Oh my God.
With scrambled eggs, bacon, hash browns really well done, and some orange juice. That is, and then maybe like an English muffin, like a toasted English muffin with some butter. There you go. That's the perfect breakfast.
Well done, hash browns.
Move to the next question. I've answered it. Asked and answered. Done.
Here's the thing.
Let me get some medium rare hash browns. Like, what is a well done hash brown? Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's good. It's crispy.
I'm going to move this along, but after I tell you guys that what I eat for breakfast every day and I think is the ultimate breakfast, I just have success for breakfast. I don't know about you guys. You can keep doing what you're doing. I just have success. Jennifer Birnbaum.
Lame.
Jennifer Birnbaum from Summit, New Jersey says, if your co-host had to describe you in three words, what would they be? Stefania, let's start with you. We'll save Matthew for last.
If they had to describe me
yes.
in three words, that's terrible. I can't do that. Not a cone. There you go.
Okay. Three words.
Wow. Not only was that a cop out, it's wrong.
It's well done, is what you mean.
Yes. How would they describe you? Definitely a cone. I mean, like, anyway, go ahead.
Definitely a cone. Field, how do you think we would describe you?
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
I love you so much.
No, more seriously.
That was four words, but okay.
It's an office joke, don't worry. maybe nice? Nice would be my guess.
Okay, all right.
That's tolerant. One word. Come on now. Come on, it's so easy. Vineyard, optimistic, Vines, nice. Nantucket.
That worked. That was good, Stefania. That's right. Beer, that's right. That's right, that's right. Daniel, how about you?
I would say three words: beard, bands, and
bad football
tattoos.
Oh, tattoos! I was gonna say nipples, but tattoos work as well, so that's fair. Yeah.
I'm gonna answer this genuinely. If you guys were asked to describe me, you're all very nice, so you probably would like keep the negative. Not what three words do you think of me, but what three words would you use to describe me? So
he's giving us too much credit.
Fair. Funny. loyal. And bitter.
Oh, bitter. Bitter.
Bitter. I was trying to think of a third B because I was gonna go bitter, bald, and
Yeah.
What?
No. This it's time to move on.
All right. Here's what I want to know. This is from Luke from Muscatine. What is your guilty TV pleasure? Can be a movie or a TV show.
Oh, I got this one. First off, Big Brother. Although I'm a couple episodes behind, so don't ruin it for me. So I love Big Brother. I've watched every season. My wife and I love it. And 90 Day Fiance. Whenever my wife watches it all the time, and
what?
I'm she loves the 90 Day Fiance. So that's a guilty pleasure. That's a guilty pleasure as well. As well as, by the way, all the guys, I'm crazy for superhero stuff. So like I'll watch like all the Netflix superhero shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all those kind of shows.
All right, Field, do you want to go?
Yes. So those, you guys may know this, you may not, for those that are participating in this event, that we have two people, Elizabeth and Tessa, who are behind the scenes, who do an incredible amount of work to execute this night. Elizabeth, when she's not setting up live events, does love the challenge. As a matter of fact, she's part of the, as far as I'm concerned, the premier challenge podcast in the world. And the challenge is, of course, on MTV. I love the show. It's amazing. It's a combination of competition and I guess sort of like reality TV stars. It's great. You should watch it. There's like 50 seasons already.
I don't watch much reality TV anymore. So I'm like the true crime person. I'm the one who watches all the true crime, all the crazy murder things, and tries to figure them out. So like Unsolved Mysteries being back on Netflix, love it.
I will say that I probably, it's going to sound like this is a Matthew Berry answer because it's an older thing, but I love Antiques Roadshow. That's a guilty pleasure of mine. And there's a show on BBC called Fake or Fortune, where they go through and decide whether these paintings that people have in their homes, whether or not they are actual real paintings or whether or not they're fakes. And then it's like this whole big thing. They go through all this sort of. So those are my two guilty pleasures from that standpoint. Matthew.
Well, I was going to say, like, do we define guilty pleasure as something that you watch but you wish you didn't because you just can't help it? Because then the answer for you is Lions football, obviously.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
You are icy.
Stop.
Harsh.
Is it mean? Is it mean if it's true?
But you know what, Matthew? Your team won one stinking game. One game. And all of a sudden, you are acting like you're the freaking 85 Bears against Daniel.
Daniel's honestly, team- we might be. I mean, I don't know if you've watched any Lions football recently, but we might be. Here's what I will tell you. That one win is one win more than I expected us to get. Like, it's all gravy. We can go 1-15. I don't care. It's all gravy at this point. We got three Super Bowls. We won three Super Bowls. It is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. I want to do this to close the show out real quick. I want each one of you to pick one question from this list in front of you. Only you can answer it. I'm going to start. Then we'll move on to Stefania Field and Matthew to close it out. My question is going to come from Kimberly Hunter from Tulsa. When will we get the Field versus Matthew one-on-one basketball game that we were promised? I promise you that we will do that. Just not right now with COVID stuff going on. But if you think that I have forgotten about that one-on-one matchup, we will make that happen. I promise you that will happen. Stefania, what question do you want to take?
I'm going to take this Brian Kester from Weirton. What is one new thing or hobby you picked up over the past 6 months? Because that way Rico gets a mention on the podcast.
Aww.
He's my puppy. And that is my new thing who has become my hobby. And he's like stole my heart. And I've had him for the past 6 months.
Aw, so cute.
Yeah.
Do you want to go next?
Let's see. I am going to go with, yeah, sure, I will. Dave Francie from Brilliant wants to know, who is the back to roster in Buffalo for the rest of the year? Josh Allen. Josh Allen's the back to roster. I'm not trying to say he's not a gifted passer as well, but this backfield already has me a little bit scared. I would, if I had to choose one, I would flip a coin that has Zach Moss on one side and Devin Singletary on the other side, and then I would expect it to land horizontally or perpendicular to the ground, and I would pick Josh Allen again.
That's fair. That's fair.
I would I'll answer, let's see. Dan Carpenter from Portsmouth asks, does Matthew have a last name that he likes for his professional football team? And the answer is yes. I don't think it's the one that will get chosen, but I actually like, first, I like any of the versions that have the word red. Like we've heard Red Tails, Red Wolves. I'd be good with any of those. But the one name that I think is kind of a long shot, but that I sort of like is the Hogs. Because to me, I think it's a unique name, but it also harkens back to Washington and it's part of our history and our culture. You know, the Hogs for years were obviously the offensive line of Washington, harkens back to the Super Bowl days. The fans, you know, we had the Hoggettes for many years as fans of the stand. So I sort of like the Hogs because it's sort of a new beginning, but it also harkens back to the old days of Washington glory. And that's a franchise that desperately needs to get back to the glory of that franchise and that era. And it's been a very difficult time to be a Washington fan, not only from their on-the-field product, but for all the stories that have come out in terms of what's happening off the field at that franchise. They are making important steps in the right direction. It does not erase the past. It is needs to be a lot more, but they at least are trying and setting in the right direction. And I'm a big believer in Ron Rivera and Jason Wright, their new president, in terms of trying to set a new tone and a new step forward. So I'm excited about that. And so I'm excited about a new name because I think that can be helpful and symbolic of a new era of the franchise, both on the field, but also how they run their operations.
A new Rivera, if you will. Well done and well said by you, Matthew. And we want to thank everybody that came out and joined our virtual live show tonight. And of course, our sponsors, both Geico, Marathon, and all those behind the scenes, Elizabeth and Tessa and everybody else involved to make this night happen. You find Daniel on the Twitter at Daniel Dopp. You go to at Stefania underscore ESPN for her. Then you go to at Matthew Berry TMR on Twitter. I'm at Field Yates. We are back with our regular, well, I'm not sure when this podcast is going live. So it could be that you're listening to this after the Wednesday morning podcast is released. Who knows? We're with you every single weekday, Monday through Friday. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace out.